We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. It is Tuesday, two more days to Thanksgiving. Today, got a lot to do on the show. Today is Hay Day Tuesday, as I finally get to do it on time. Get to talk a little bit about history of, or going to talk a little bit about history of alfalfa, how it was brought over here to America, and the breeding that's going on with it today. Also, we got we're gonna have a little fun with turkeys also coming up. A little pretty informative, really good information about turkeys and buying and hormones and all this other stuff going on. We'll have that coming up. And first of all, let's check out the temperatures. Looks like Hollis, Altus, Mangum, Tipton, you all are the warmest spot in the state right now at 56 degrees. 52 at Cheyenne, as you guys all know, it's the home of the secret weapon. 51 at Arnett, home of Lori Campbell. 51 at Woodward, home of Mark Klingenpill. Cherokee, you're at 50. Slap out Beaver, you're at 50. And out here in the Panhandle, a big T, 51 at Lipscomb, 53 at Dozer, 54 at Wellington, and 56 degrees at Odell, south of the Red River Bridge down there south of Altus. Let's check out some of the wind real quick before I get to what's been happening in our agricultural world. Looks like Camargo, you have the highest winds in the state right now. 31 miles an hour sustained, 40 mile an hour gust. Everybody else, you're in the 20s and 30s. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's because Camargo's right there at the river bridge and the wind's coming down the Canadian River there. Don't know what's going on. But like Beaver, 19 mile an hour sustained, 29 mile an hour gust. And looks like the wind is easing into the eastern part of the state finally after blowing here for the last 36 hours. Hollis, 24 mile an hour sustained, 32 mile an hour wind gust. So that's what we got going on there. All right, the text line is wide open, 580-225-9697. I know you guys had some pretty good luck with opening weekend of deer season. If you want to, I won't save them, I won't repost them nowhere, but if you want to send me a picture of the doe or buck you've shot this past weekend, you're more than welcome to. 580-225-9697. I did hear that in some parts of the Oklahoma that the numbers are down a little bit. I'm not sure if that's got anything to do with the warmer weather or what's going on. There's lots of action going on where I'm at, so I've been seeing lots of the bucks are tongues are hanging out and does are running, teasing them. So anyway, it's pretty hot and heavy going on. Lieutenant James Edward did tell me that there's 277 checked in over the weekend in Beckham County compared to 370 last year. And also, this is kind of a little rant that I got here. Yesterday, I was reading something. I think it was on Oklahoma Hunting and Fishing's page on Facebook. Anyway, some person got on there and was talking about how high it's got to have a deer process, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, everything's gone up. So, I mean, everything. Ammunition's gone up. Rifles have gone up. Fuel's up, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, these guys got to make a living with processing deer and doing taxidermy and all that stuff. So, anyway, my point on this is, you know, $100, $150, whatever it's running to get a deer processed right now is not that bad. It's been somewhere between 75 and 100 for the last 10 years that I've figured that I can remember. But anyway, but my point that I put back on social media was there that you'll go to Walmart and spend $100 on a box of ammo, some beer, some snacks, etc., and then your $60,000 truck. And I know not everybody's got a $60,000 truck, but your $60,000 truck will take $50 to $100 worth of fuel to go back and forth 100 times to your tree stand that you're putting out $20 a day worth of corn out on it, or $10 a bag of corn every day, and you're worried about $150 processing fee. Come on. Support your local businesses. Get your deer processed. If you already process your own deer, that's fine. I'm not telling you to switch, but these other guys are going, I'm going to go out and spend money and get me a meat grinder and make my own stuff and all this stuff. It's just funny to me. Just because somebody went up $30 or $50 on processing a deer, just get it. Keep up your same deal and support your local businesses is all I'm saying. And it'll be just fine. How about that? Not much of a rant, but it's a silly rant, but it's just silly to post something on social media that you're not going to pay them that extra $30 or $40 to process your deer this year. Everything's going up. People get used to it. It's all about the money. But anyway, but hey, don't forget that you're carrying around a $1,500 rifle with a $1,500 scope on it with a $700 silencer on the end of it. But that's all right. Don't worry about that $150 you got to pay to get that deer processed. Anyway, all right, let's check out what's going on in the agricultural world, or what happened overnight. Soybean, yeah, I know cotton's not going up either, Mr. JR. But soybean and corn futures were higher in overnight trading amid continued demand for U.S. supplies. Mexico purchased another 104,000 metric tons of GMO corn, no, I didn't say that, for delivery. I'm still making fun of her down there, the president's wife, for delivery in the marketing year that started on September 1st, according to the USDA. The falling sales of 220,000 tons of soybeans to be was announced also yesterday to be sold to an unnamed country, which I call John Doe's, announced by the USDA, and 124,000 tons of corn is going to Japan. How about that? Prices have been rallying amid adverse weather in parts of Brazil and Argentina. Hot and dry weather in some parts of the South American countries has curbed crop prospects and slowed shipping out of the Brazil's central growing areas that I reported yesterday. Their rivers are low, and they've had to lighten their loads a little bit and go to smaller barges, I guess. Steel price gains are being capped by wet weather in some of the producing regions. Rains in central and northwestern areas of Brazil this week should finally improve moisture and crop conditions. Rain this week will also favor several areas, the Rio Grande do Sul, and Mato Grosso, I don't even know how to say that. The forecaster said in a note to clients, in Argentina, rains will help soil moisture in parts of Cordoba and Santa Fe, but dryness will persist in other parts of the country, according to Kenny with Maxar, meteorologist. Soybean futures for January rose overnight to 6 cents to 13.73 and a quarter a bushel. On the Chicago Board of Trade, soy meal was up $5.50 overnight to $448.80 a short ton, and soy oil lost about a half a penny to 51.87 cents a pound. Corn for December delivery was up 2 pennies to $4.89.5 a bushel overnight. Wheat futures for December delivery gained 0.75 cents to $5.71.25 in Chicago and Kansas City. Even though they lost their football game last night to Philadelphia, it added a penny to $6.21.25 a bushel. I don't know if you guys watched that ball game last night, but the only time I've ever seen receivers miss that many catches was probably in a peewee football game years ago. It was terrible. Anyway, inspections of wheat for overseas delivery increased week to week, while corn and bean assessments declined a little bit. wheat inspections was reported at 358,000 metric tons, that ended November 16th. That's up from 222,000 tons a week earlier and 291,000 tons last year. Corn assessments dropped to 553,000 tons, down from 707,000 tons the week before, but it was still higher than last year, where it was basically 500,000 tons inspected in 2022. Soybean inspections fell to 1.61 million tons, down from 1.94 million tons assessed a week earlier, but last year they did almost 2.5 million tons last year. So anyway, there we go. Strong winds, I guess you guys know the winds blowing out there, are again expected today in much of western Kansas, according to the National Weather Service. Northwest winds are forecast 25 to 35 with stronger gusts in the forecast, same as for Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Some winds will reach as high as 45 miles an hour around about now, according to this, and then it'll start dying down slowly over the next 12 to 14 hours. In northwestern Iowa, meanwhile, gusty winds will lead to increased risk of wildfires. The windy weather is expected to last through the weekend. High to very high fire danger may be possible Wednesday afternoon in areas along and east of Interstate 29. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our, today is Stockman's Vet Clinic, Happy Cap Hour, all hour today. I'll have more on them coming up later in the show, but let's go ahead and take a break, and let me see if Mr. Brandon Hickey has some phone service, and we'll catch up on what happened at East Clinton yesterday at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, and see what happened Friday at Elk City. From what I've seen in my report, that I put out this morning from Western Oklahoma, they had a really, really good sale with their wing calves yesterday. So we'll check on that here in just a minute.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
We've got an awful lot to be thankful for at Barber Dyes and Ford. Great customers have allowed us to serve them for almost three decades. Terrific schools educate our kids. Dedicated city and county employees keep things looking great and running smoothly. We're so thankful for family, friends, and the freedom we enjoy in America. And we're thankful we live right here in the greatest place in the world. We're overflowing with blessings, and we can't thank you enough. From all of us at Barber Dyes and Ford in Elk City.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale-per-hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, sorry about that. Me and Brandon was playing phone tag here. Anyway, we're good at that. Anyway, let's do a quick weather update before Brandon comes on. Miami, Texas, 52 degrees, humidity's 27, dew point's 9. It's kind of dry out there with them north winds at 23 miles an hour. Peak wind gusts so far today, 41 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 0.03 for people in Roger Mills County. That's 31,000. Sometimes I confuse myself. Anyway, no sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature is 56 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now is Mr. Brandon Hickey. Thanks for coming on today, sir.
Yes, sir. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you. First thing, let's get this over with. How was the ladies Friday at the cafe? Were they were giving you the look, or was they happy we're talking about them, or what?
Oh, they were happy to be talking about them. They didn't even care that some of it was negative. You know, there's no such thing as bad publicity. It's all good.
I was going to go by there and get a cheeseburger, and I thought, I better lay low on this one today. Anyway, man, you look like you had two great sales. Let's start with Elk City.
We did had a good run, good head count again, lots of good fresh calves, lots of activity, lots of buyers in the barn. Sold some bred cows really high that I didn't even know was coming. You know, some pairs sold really good. I mean, looks like to me it's kind of looking like we're back on an upward trend. Maybe you know, we've kind of that kind of messed with this thing on the futures board and kind of drove this thing down a little bit here for about 3-4 weeks, but it's kind of looking like we're back on an upward trend here. A little bit more activity, a little bit more excitement. It's buyer activity is picking up, so it's exciting.
I know. I mean, it's just I can't wait to get up in the morning and see what's going on. You know, we got a lot of sale barns out here and Western Oklahoma, and I like to see the differences between the ones up north and the ones down here that we have in our immediate area and stuff, and pretty exciting.
Yes, sir.
And then anyway, so you had 2,145 head Friday at Elk City, and it was the same thing. We got a little bit of shower Saturday, and we got in the pastures, especially east of here, the wheat pastures are looking awesome, and these out here are coming on.
Yes, sir.
And yes, sir. So you got that going on?
Yep. You're starting to see those guys show up, some of those farmers and whatnot that have got wheat ready to graze. They're starting to show up at these sale barns and looking for those weaned cattle that they can turn right out, that they're not going to have to pin up and watch for a while and do the weaning and everything. You start to see some of that show up, and then you're seeing the farmers show up that don't mind starting the cattle. They're starting to show up and buy those fallen calves and cutting bulls and heifers that haven't been weaned yet. They're starting to show up and pick up some of them. You know, a lot more local activity in both barns, and but there's still a lot of a lot of activity to send a bunch of these cattle north as well. So, you know, the order buyers are in there looking for the cattle to go to the guys up north, and they got the local guys on there, and that always makes for a good day, an easy day for me when you've got those two contingents coming together. You got the northern guys wanting cattle and the local guys wanting cattle. It makes for an easy day for me with those on them good cattle.
Oh, yeah. Looks like the slaughter cattle are have creeped back up a little bit.
Yeah, there's a few left of those showing up. There's starting to be quite a bit of rumblings about back east, Georgia, Tennessee area, Alabama in there. There's starting to be quite a bit of rumblings that they're starting to really get dry and starting to see a lot of cows in that part of the world showing up again. But it's that's far enough away. It hasn't affected us yet. It could if they don't start getting some moisture here in the next month or so, that we could see that affect us. Probably coming up here after Christmas, after the first of the year, if they continue to stay dry down there in that part of the world, that could start affecting our slaughter cow deal. But I think we're sure a month or better away from that happening. They're gonna need cows, be short on cows, I think, here coming up for the next month. But they're starting to pull a few out of the feed yards that some of the packing companies that's putting some on feed. They're starting to pull a few of them out of the feed yard, but they not getting enough numbers to satisfy them yet, so that's keeping our market up pretty good, and I think we're looking pretty good on that for the rest of November and December.
Yeah, and the cattle on feed report came out again the other day, and there's nothing surprising there. I mean, it didn't go up or down, so it's still the same as basically it has been for the last 30 days, so there shouldn't be nothing crazy happen with any of the prices because of that, I wouldn't think.
No, there was something surprising, though. They didn't leak it a day early this time. It actually, everybody didn't get to see it until Friday.
I'm glad you said that, not me. So, because I thought that. and actually, this is what I thought. I thought, man, I bet Brandon's happy. But anyway, well, let's switch direction. Let's go east down I-40 to the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Big sale, 2,227 head going on there, and I'm telling you, I don't know what time you text that to me, midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever that was, and boy howdy, those 400 and 500 pounders were bringing some jack now.
Yes, yeah, we had a lot of really good weaned cattle. Got a gentleman from right there around Foss that has a really good program that brings us a lot of good 4 to 6 weight weaned cattle a couple of times a year, long weaned cattle. I mean, bulletproof kind of cattle ready to go and brings big numbers of them. And when he brings those things to town, I mean, the guys come out of the woodwork to buy those cattle to put them right out on the wheat. And there was a lot of activity. I mean, the barn was absolutely full of people yesterday. You know, some of them wanting to see what the cattle brought, a lot of them there to buy them. And there was a lot of people went home disappointed because they didn't feel like they had enough money to buy those cattle. You know, it was a good day. It was, like I say, easy day when you got them good programs and good cattle in there like that. It makes for an easy day.
Oh, yeah, 190 head, average weights on these steers, 469 pounds, long-term wing, $3.24. I'll do that all day long.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, what was the girls doing? I hadn't even looked at them yet.
Oh, you had a big string. I think we sold 304 or something like that in one pop for that same gentleman. And weighed 501, brought 262. You know, them things started out. The auctioneer started them at 230, and, I mean, they just took off and went. And it ran all the way up there to 262 and went to Kansas. One guy took them all. It was one of those deals. They had 150 some with an option on the next 150 some, and he took them all, sent them all up there to Kansas, and they're going on I don't know this, but I bet they're going on big pretty irrigated wheat, what I bet they're going on.
Yeah, you know, up north in northwestern Oklahoma and in north central also, and then over there across the state line in Kansas, they got those rains early, And their week, when I was up there in the panhandle of Oklahoma here 6-8 weeks ago, they looked like they already had wheat ready to turn out on. So I'm sure they're looking for something to do some grubbing.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, so what's we're closed Friday, correct, at Elk City?
We will not have a sale Friday, the day after Thanksgiving at Elk City. We will be in action at WOLA on Monday. And then we'll be every Monday and Friday till our last sale of the year will be at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction December 18th.
Okay.
Will be our last sale of the year. We'll be shut down after that. Last sale of the year at Elk City will be December 15th. And so I think we've got 3 left at Elk City, 4 left at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, if I remember correctly. And then we'll shut down for Christmas and New Year's and get started back up after the first of the year.
What are you going to do with your time off?
Relax. I'm going to do as little as possible, as little as what my wife will let me get away with.
you got a pretty good wife. I bet you'll be all right.
I've got a real good wife, but you know, the honey-do list doesn't ever seem to get any shorter. I seem to have trouble getting many of them checked off.
Well, you need to correct that, sir. I don't know that it'll ever happen, but anyway, you can try correcting it.
Yeah.
All right, well, Brandon, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and thanks for coming on today, and I guess we'll catch up with you next Tuesday, and won't be such a long report because all we'll have is the Western Oklahoma one to do.
Yeah, what else will we find to talk about?
Well, we can't talk about the girls because they're not cooking this Friday, but I guess we can talk about them. Especially that little short-haired one with the little bit of, I don't know if that's gray or blonde. I hate to say that live on the radio back here in the back next to the oven and the frying grills. Uh-huh. Yeah, I can always find something to talk to her about.
Yeah. That whatever color that is, it's pure wisdom, Jimmy. That's all it is pure wisdom.
All right, well, you have a great one and happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Jimmy.
All right, see you later. All right, thanks, Mr. Brandon Hickey, for his update here to Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Barns. Man, what a great sale there yesterday. I mean, there was some bucks spent yesterday over at Clinton, and they're creeping up. They're creeping closer to that $4 mark yesterday. Not quite, but close. That Dr. Teal. Anyway, we had some great reports a couple months ago on it's going to get to that $4 mark, and I don't know if it will or not, but it's getting closer. Let's go ahead and take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. When I come back, I'll have your updated forecast, agriculture forecast, for Northwestern Oklahoma. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November the 20th. 2,227 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 338 brought 343. 6 at 503 brought 299. 10 at 522 brought 296. 8 at 582 brought 249.50. 5 at 613 brought 240. 4 at 635 brought 216. 6 at 688 brought 208. 8 head of heifers at 449 brought 265. 6 at 465 brought 257. 4 at 514 brought 231. 5 at 604 brought 212. 6 at 689 brought 206. 5 at 707 brought 178. 14 at 952 brought 190. Butcher cows were 50 to 104. Butcher bulls brought 82 to 129. Bred cows were 1150 to 1860. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
I say the future is ours! Can you dig it?
Oh, you sure can. Especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post-hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
Find out more? Visit DJ's DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer. From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Alva, Oklahoma, here is your ag weather update. 52 degrees, dew points 19, humidity's 27. The winds are out of the north-northwest at 29 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 38 right now. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. 10-day rain total, 0.20 inches. That's 0.02 of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 55 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.4. Sunrise, or sunset, sorry, 5:23. Breezy today, 53. Tonight, the winds calm down finally, but it's going to get cold, 27 degrees. 59 degrees and sunny tomorrow with west to south winds 3 to 8 miles an hour. So I've been asked this numerous times over the last couple months since I switched to doing ag weather from the mesonet. And what is the fractional water index? So these maps and graphs are available on the Oklahoma mesonet site. Just get under there and go to agriculture on your phone or on your computer, and you'll see all this stuff, and you'll see all these maps with red, green, blue, all kinds of stuff going on. The fractional water index is the indicator of soil moisture at three different depths. It is essentially a point measure at 2 inches, 10 inches, and 24 inches depths. The scale ranges from wet soil at 1.0 to dry soil at 0.0. It provides an indication of plant available water divided into tenths. Fractional water index is independent of soil type, so it doesn't matter. Fractional water index was specifically developed for the Campbell 229L soil moisture sensor by soil scientists at the Agriculture Research Service Grazing Lands Research Station in El Reno, Oklahoma. The sensor measures over the range of potential values from minus 0.085 all the way to minus 8.52 bars. This range covers plant available water for field saturation to a welting point. So anyway, it looks like northwestern Oklahoma is just opposite of what it was about a month ago. They're the ones hurting, but they, according to the mesonet weather forecast, if they get any of this snowfall coming up this weekend, coming up Saturday night, I believe, and Sunday, You know, it takes 1 inch of snow is 1/10 of a rain, and they're calling for 4 to 6 inches of snow in the panhandle of Oklahoma. So hopefully they get some of that. We'll take 3 inches down here. I'm good with that. All right, let's move on to what's going on. I got a couple pictures already of some really nice deer. That one of Adam Schoen's from Canute over there got with his bow last week. I don't know if you guys seen that on social media yet, but wow, that was that's a buck of a lifetime there as far as I'm concerned. Quickly, some hay prices. It looks like not a lot's changed. Alfalfa might be up $5 a ton according to these sales from the USDA. Premium alfalfa is at the highest, looks like, in Wyoming and Texas right now, and Oregon, and somewhere between, and Kansas. Kansas still got some drought going up there in some of those areas, well over $300 a ton. For example, Kansas for premium alfalfa is $270 to $325 a ton. Missouri's $200 to $300 a ton. New Mexico's $230 to $390. Oklahoma's 180 to 220, and Texas is 320 to 425, and no sales on premium showed they were delivered. So there we go. On grass hay prices reported for, to the USDA, sales on that. Looks like Kansas, 180 to 250 per ton on premium grass hay. Missouri's 225, Oklahoma's 185. And Texas is 240 to 390. That's just the community surrounding us right there. So it looks like prices, are, compared to what I read last week, have creeped up to about $5 a ton on the average. So we'll have, there's that report. Okay, cattle and calves on feed for the U.S. slaughter market total 11.9 million head as of November 1st. The inventory was roughly 2% higher than a year ago. Placements in feedlots during October total 2.6 million head, which is up 4% from October of last year. Marketing of fed cattle during October totaled 1.76 million head, which was 3% less than last year. That's just an update on that. All right, let's see here. That's a really, update. Listen up. Forage producers across the country insured a record 290.6 million acres under the Pasture, Forage, and Rangeland Insurance Program in 2023. So far this year, participants have received an average of $1.07 in indemnity payments for every dollar they invested in insurance premiums, according to the University of Nebraska's Lincoln Center of Agriculture Profitability. The deadline to purchase the PRF insurance for the 24 calendar year, guess what? It's just a few weeks away. Remember, it's December 1st. Hope you got her done. In a recent Growing Beef newsletter from Iowa State University, Beth Reynolds explains PRF is a subsidized insurance program managed by the USDA Risk Management Agency that mitigates production loss in pastures and hay fields due to lower than average rainfall. Producers receive indemnity payments if participation precipitation in their area is less than historic rainfall levels derived from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration weather recording station data. Reynolds, an extension beef program specialist, points out premiums and indemnities will vary among producers because they can choose their level of coverage and production. Producers should work with qualified crop insurance agents to determine the best insurance plan that fits their individual operation and define the grid identification number for their farm. Coverage levels range from 70 to 90%, and the level of production can be 60 to 150%. Each grid is 0.25 degrees latitude by 0.25 longitude, which is approximately 17 by 13 miles, if you didn't know that. So there you go. So also, producers must also select between 2 and 6 index intervals when creating an insurance plan. So there you go. The federal government subsidizes 51 to 59% of insurance premiums, with the percentage of the premium subsidy declining as coverage levels go up. Nonetheless, the total dollar value of premium subsidy typically improves with greater coverage. There you go. Insurance should never be considered an investment. Rather, it's a tool available to manage risk. Reynolds states, if and when an insurance benefit is paid out, then intent is to offset some purchase feed cost incurred. There you go. That's what it's for. So anyway, your deadline for your PRF insurance, December 1st, is coming up. So get after it. Let's go ahead and take a break. Take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break, and we'll come back. I want to talk about some alfalfa breeding has big potential. Pretty interesting article. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day, and you flipped the switch on that machine, and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
SEI Agritech excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, Tipton, Oklahoma. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. 57 degrees, dew points 27, humidity's 31. Winds are out of the north at 24 miles an hour, wind gust at 31. I just checked. Roger Mills County has wind gusts over 40 miles an hour now. No rainfall in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil. Temperature 58 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water. 0.9. You're in pretty good shape, according to what I just read. Sunset at 5:30. Breezy. 58 today. Tonight, winds die down. 29 for a low. And 60 tomorrow. Sunny with northwest to southwest winds. Tomorrow, 5 to 6 miles an hour. How about that? All right, I got to do this before we get into the alfalfa deal. I got to do these fun facts about turkeys. In my family, the so-called turkey expert is the person who gets to carve the roasted bird, and the rest of us are only concerned with choosing dark or white meat. But here are a few tidbits about turkeys that you can make your conversation expert between forkfuls. How about that? For instance, did you know that you can tell the mental state of a turkey by the color of its head and neck? When a turkey gets mad, excited, or defensive, its head and neck turns white. The more extreme the motion, the whiter the color. But I've seen people turn really red, so I think that's opposite with humans. Turkeys can see in color, but have poor night vision. They can see movement almost 100 yards away and also have a wide field of vision, which makes sneaking up on them pretty difficult. Good luck trying to catch a wild turkey. They can run at speeds at up to 25 miles an hour and fly for short distances up to 55 miles an hour. Wild turkeys spend the night in trees and are particularly fond of oak trees. Out here in western Oklahoma, they're particularly fond of big old cottonwoods. Hens are typically sold whole, while toms are further processed into cutlets and deli meats. Even if you can't see them, you can probably hear them. The wild turkey can make at least 30 different calls. In the spring, the adult makes a call known as a gobble to attract females. Humans can hear gobbles from a mile away. Hens don't gobble, they make clicking noises. Around 46 million turkeys are consumed every Thanksgiving. If Benjamin Franklin would have had his way, you'd be eating our national bird. The Smithsonian says Franklin wrote a letter to his daughter praising the turkey as the most respectable bird than the bald eagle. He wrote, "For the truth, the turkey is, in comparison, is a much more respectable bird, and with the truth, original native of America. He is, besides, though a little vain and silly, a bird of courage and would not hesitate to attack a Greenlander, of the British Guards, who presumed to invade his farmyard with a red coat on." Mature turkeys have 3,500 feathers. Toms typically take 18 weeks to reach maturity and weigh 38 pounds. On average, it takes 75 to 80 pounds of feed to raise a 38-pound tom turkey. Minnesota is ranked number one in the United States in turkey production, raising more than 40 million turkeys a year. Whew, that's a lot about a turkey. All right, let's get on with the alfalfa, because this is Hay Day Tuesday. One of the core principles of plant breeding is to improve crop genetics so plants are better equipped to survive environmental stress. Genetic improvement is more imperative with a species grown in a climate that varies from its center of origin. Take alfalfa, for example. Alfalfa originated in the Fertile Crescent of Western Asia around 10,000 BC, growing in the desert regions of modern-day countries today like Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. Because of its value as livestock feed, it was transported into Central Asia, Northern Africa, and China before it entered parts of Europe, like by the Roman army. It wasn't until the 16th century that alfalfa arrived in Mexico, beginning the expansion into South America and what is now California in the southwestern United States. Alfalfa was initially introduced to modern-day Georgia, South Carolina, and Virginia. As the National Alfalfa and Forage Alliance's intensive training seminar held earlier this month, Greg Scheffner with the University of Minnesota explained that the migration of alfalfa encouraged plant genetics. Despite the natural adaptations that occurred over time, the agronomist emphasized the early efforts of two plant breeding pioneers whose work laid the foundation for the alfalfa varieties we have today. Wendell Grimm immigrated from Minnesota from Germany in 1857, bringing 20 pounds of alfalfa seed along with him. The seed was not a uniform variety, but rather a mixed population of purple and yellow flowered alfalfa that he planted on his farm in Carver County. Grimm later harvested seed from the plants that outlasted the harsh Minnesota winter. Grimm continued to plant seed and select forage for the next several years, which eventually led him to develop the first North American winter hardy variety of alfalfa. By 1930, his alfalfa extended out of Minnesota into North Dakota, South Dakota, and eastern Montana, and alfalfa acreage in the northern tier of the United States soared from 700 acres to 700,000 acres. That said, the forage was lacking a key characteristic. Jim's alfalfa had tremendous weather hardiness, and it was well adapted to certain parts of the state, but it had no disease resistance. Entered N.E. Hansen, a plant explorer from South Dakota. According to Scheffner, Hansen made 8 trips across the Atlantic Ocean to gather exotic varieties of winter hardy alfalfa in parts of Europe and Asia, including the Turkestan alfalfa, which exhibited resistance to bacterial wilt. Other traits derived from Hansen's material was drought tolerance, insect resistance, branch crowns, and creeping roots. Some yellow-flowered alfalfa varieties that are now grown in drier regions were derived from Mr. Hansen's material. New alfalfa varieties continue to be developed throughout the 1900s, including those with resistance to stem rot and all kinds of other diseases there. Before Roundup Ready alfalfa and reduced ligand varieties were released in the early 2000s. Scheffner noted that once alfalfa was recognized as a profitable crop, research moved from public institutions to private entities. Breeding objectives also shifted from promoting plant protection and disease resistance to bolstering better yields and persistence. This led to widespread planting, which prompted mechanical innovations in organizational advancements that have contributed to the evolution of the alfalfa industry as we know it today. How about those swathers that go 100 miles an hour back and forth and just go around, just circle around those sickle drive ones? Today's alfalfa alternates is the third and fourth most valuable crops in the United States, following soybean, corn, and sometimes wheat. Data from the NAFA pegged the alfalfa industry to be worth $11.6 billion in the year 2021. And it was the number one field crop for many western states, including Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico. Despite this, acres of alfalfa harvested for hay and haylage have shown a slight yet steady decline over the past few decades. Last but not least, Scheffler suggested the drop in alfalfa acreages could be as a result of a smaller national dairy herd and that there is less alfalfa being included in dairy rations overall. A more prominent reason may be that the federal funding for alfalfa research pales in comparison of that of corn and soybeans, as well as less economically valued crops like cotton and rice. But the benefits of alfalfa go beyond its economic contribution. Ecosystem services like carbon and nitrogen and soil stabilization, more growing alfalfa makes it more sustainable than growing corn and soybeans. Other services like wildlife habitat, I have that over there west of Carter. I grow alfalfa there. I don't even get to cut it. The deer just eat it. How about that? Anyway, but overlooking those stuff, alfalfa is underappreciated. It is at another level compared to the way it used to be. So anyway, pretty cool stuff on alfalfa. I didn't know how it got here, but now I do, and so do you. By the way, rumors have it that Jimmy Clark and the Today in Ag Show might go traveling next week and be at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch show Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's coming up. So if you guys haven't made plans, November 28th, 29th, and 30th, it'll be in Amarillo, Texas. It's free. It's a huge show. Texas AgriLife will be, A&M AgriLife will be having their stuff going on all 3 days. So if you want to check it out, just go to the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. Google it. It'll give you all the events, but it's crazy. Anyway, 500 exhibitors out there already. They're expecting 600. So anyway, cool thing. All right, well, that's it. That's all I got to talk about today. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless, and it's brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah, Oklahoma. You guys have a blessed day.